Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening.
Drafting prospect Logan Mailloux with the 31st overall pick, the Montreal Canadiens organization not only selected a promising hockey player, but also a young man who recently admitted to making a serious mistake.
And that is where I stopped listening to Marc Bergevin, the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. Because Logan Mailloux did not make a mistake. Logan Mailloux committed a crime. He committed a crime he was charged for. Committed a crime that has traumatized a victim that he still has not given a genuine apology to. For those of you listening who don't know what the story behind this is, Logan Mailloux, who plays for the London Knights of the Ontario Hockey League. He was recently on loan to a team in Sweden. Was exposed for a sex crime. This is from an article on CTV News. Montreal Canadiens draft pick Logan Mailloux apologized Saturday for sending explicit pictures of a sexual act without the consent of his partner. Last year, Mailloux secretly took photos of a woman while they were engaged in a sexual act and shared them and the identity of the woman with members of his hockey team in Sweden. He was charged with defamation and criminal photography in order to pay a fine. Now, I want to make it clear. The lead says that he apologized. He did not apologize to the victim in this instance. He came out and made a public apology after being drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. The statement you just heard at the top of the show was the statement where Marc Bergevin came out after selecting Logan Mailloux and really souring what was a pretty good day in the NHL. It was the NHL entry draft. Mailloux was one of the last picks made in the first round. And really, nobody was expecting this. Bergevin came out and gave the same excuse that was used in the Mitchell Miller situation last year, that was used in numerous different instances over the years, including things with Tony DeAngelo. And it is that excuse that he was a young man who made a mistake. He was 17 years old when this happened. Yes, not legally an adult. Yes, his brain's not fully developed. But he's old enough to understand the harm that he has done. He's old enough to know that sharing sexually explicit materials that you took without that person's consent and shared them without that consent is not a good thing to do. That is not simply a mistake. That is a crime. a crime he was charged and convicted of in Sweden. It is a crime in Sweden. It is a crime here in Canada. It is a crime in the U.S. where Mayhew will probably play a lot of his career if he ever makes it to the NHL. It is a crime in most every place. It is not a mistake. This is not doing something dumb and breaking your arm when you're 16. This isn't getting a speeding ticket. This isn't, you know, dropping something off a roof. This isn't saying something dumb to a friend or messing up in front of your girlfriend when you're a teenager. This is a crime that Mayhew committed. And to his credit, and I will give him credit, he actually didn't want to be selected. A few days before the draft, Logan Mayhew put out this statement. "Being drafted into the NHL is an honor and a privilege that no one takes lightly. The NHL draft should be one of the most exciting landmark moments in a player's career, and given the circumstances, I don't feel I have demonstrated strong enough maturity or character to earn that privilege in the 2021 draft." Bergevin took this, still selected him, actually selecting him higher than he was projected to go, and then came out and said, "Logan understands the impact of his actions. His recent public statement is a genuine acknowledgement of his poor behavior and the first step of his personal journey." They pulled out the same old, "We can fix them. We can provide them a situation and a place where they can become a better person and make up for it." I'm sorry, Mark, and the Montreal Canadiens. You are not the ones that get to tell him it's okay. You are not the ones to offer this opportunity. You are giving him, you are rewarding him, in a sense, for doing something bad by picking him, drafting him in the first round, that he will forever be able to say he was a first-round NHL draft pick, that he was selected by the Montreal Canadiens, a historic franchise, the winningest franchise in NHL history, went out of their way to select him because he's special. He gets to say that for the rest of his life. He did not show maturity by making a statement. That is the bare minimum that we should expect from somebody in this circumstance, to acknowledge that they did something. You have essentially rewarded him for putting a few words into a tweet. And the apology wasn't even an apology. Anybody who's taken any conflict resolution classes will tell you this. There are three parts to an apology, and this goes directly to Marc Bergevin. There are three parts to an apology: acknowledgement, remorse and empathy, and restitution. He did one of those three. He acknowledged harm, which is good. It's a good first step, but it's still not good enough. He did send out an apology directly to the victim, which in her words was 2 to 3 sentences that said nothing specific and showed no real remorse or empathy. Once again, crosses off point one, but completely misses points 2 and 3. I don't want to get overly simplistic and sound like a domineering parent or like I'm talking down to you. Remorse is truly feeling bad for what you've done. And empathy is being able to put yourself in another person's shoes. Okay? That's being able to look at that person and say, "I know I caused you harm. I did something disgusting and horrible, and I will never be able to take that back. And I know that I deserve what happened to me. I know that I deserve the consequences of the actions that I committed." He didn't say that. He tried to. I'll give him credit. He tried in his statement to take responsibility and to acknowledge the harm and give the NHL an out, and he tried to accept the consequences of his actions beyond the fine that he was given and the criminal record he now has. Beyond that, he had the presence of mind, or at least his agent had the presence of mind to say, part of your punishment, the way that you will get through this and be able to grow as a person, is to lose the privilege of being drafted into the NHL this year. That doesn't mean he'll never play hockey again. Doesn't mean he'll never play in the NHL ever. It doesn't even mean that he won't be ever drafted. It means that this year, he has not demonstrated the maturity needed to be given the privilege to play in the NHL. It doesn't matter if it's a kid's dream. It was my dream to play in the NHL as a kid. It wasn't a privilege. It wasn't something that I was given. Sure, I dreamt it, but I wasn't good enough. There are thousands of people every year that aren't good enough. Getting drafted into the NHL and playing professional sports is a privilege, not a right. Just because you play in the OHL, just because you're really good at the sport, doesn't mean that you deserve or should be given the opportunity to play in that top flight. Joshua Hosang is an amazing player, but he has essentially been blacklisted by the entire NHL because of supposed character flaws or flaws in his game. PK Subban was treated horribly because of who he is as a person. And this isn't the first time that an organization has done this. I mentioned the Mitchell Miller situation, where he assaulted and bullied consistently a young man with autism, subjecting him to racist and demonizing, demonstrably horrible acts, leading to him needing to get STI testing and a tetanus shot, because Mitchell Miller rubbed a lollipop on the inside of a urinal and gave it to the kid who thought Mitchell Miller was his friend. I cannot believe I am back here a year later talking about the same thing. I can't believe it. I can believe it, but I can't believe it. I was hoping that we would start to get past this. I thought that with Logan Mayhew's statement prior to the draft, he gave the entire NHL an out to not pick him. He was trying to protect them from themselves and take responsibility and take the punishment he deserved. He acknowledged he's not mature enough, but then the Montreal Canadiens go out and they select him. And it doesn't surprise me that they're going to go out and probably sign Tony DeAngelo after all of the things that he's accused of. And it doesn't surprise me that a GM who was in the Blackhawks organization when a sexual assault was covered up will go out and do this. You're not protecting him. You're not saving him. You're not giving him an opportunity to make himself better. You are shielding him from that criticism. You are rewarding him when he has done something demonstrably wrong, something illegal. Something that this young woman will have to carry with her for the rest of her life. And it's disgusting. Three parts to an apology. Acknowledgement, Mayhew did that. Remorse and empathy, he tried, but he hasn't been able to accomplish that just yet. The third one, restitution. This is the big one. When people ask, and people go on Twitter, and all every time a situation like this comes up, it's always, when is it enough? When are we allowing this person to say you've done enough? When are we going to let this person back in? When people talk about cancel culture and all of these things, and it's that restitution part, an act or service to make up for that transgression, to offer and commit to restitution, to prove and to take concrete steps to prove that you are better. that you have improved, that you have done right. And this is going to take a long time. I talk a lot about how it's harder to build back up than it is to tear something down. Mayu is being torn down. He should have lost the ability to get drafted this year. He should have lost his, probably lost a spot or been suspended by his team and been punished for that. He also received the legal punishment that was under Swedish law. He did the time. Good. That's not enough. Because the harm that has been done to this person, this young woman, goes beyond whatever punishment the Swedish government handed down. She is the victim here. Not Logan Mayu. This young woman is the victim. She deserves some restitution. She deserves to see that Mayu has changed, has learned. It starts off by him giving an empathetic, remorseful apology to her. The three parts. He has to acknowledge that he harmed her, show legitimate remorse and empathy, not just pity for himself and the things that he's lost, but actual empathy. Put himself in the woman's shoes and the pain that he caused her. And then provide and offer restitution. Something demonstrable that he can do. Like Adam Wilde always says in the Steve Dangle podcast, show us the receipts. For Logan, along with the apology, he should probably, you know, if he wants to go out and work with, you know, sexual abuse victims and help with them to bring awareness to this issue, go out and just demonstrate that you are growing as a person. That's for you and your agent to figure out. It's not for the Montreal Canadiens to hand to you as a rehab project. It's not up to them. Just like it wasn't up to the Arizona Coyotes to select Mitchell Miller when he dropped from a late first, early second round pick to a fourth round pick, the first pick that Arizona had in that draft, mind you, because they had to forfeit their first three, they had no first three picks, they didn't have a first, second, or third round pick. It wasn't up to them either. Because at the time, Mitchell Miller, and he still hasn't, apologized to the victim. Hasn't taken part in any anti-bullying initiatives. Hasn't provided any proof that he has improved as a person. And he's lost it a lot. He lost a spot. He not only was renounced by the Arizona Coyotes, he was dropped from the University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks. And his career is pretty much gone. He's going to go off and live a normal life. And people that act like, oh, you're throwing this kid's life away, he made that decision. His life isn't over. Logan Mayhew's life isn't over. Mitchell Miller's life isn't over. They can still live. They can still go home, get an education, get a job, and live their life. Logan Mayhew still, regrettably, is a draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens. He can go out and work his way back up. He's still close to being a professional hockey player. Mitchell Miller can go off, get a job, and be a functioning member of society, and that's great. We're not throwing these kids to the wolves. We're not locking them up and throwing away the key. We're just asking for a little bit of empathy and remorse and some receipts. Show us that you're better. Show us. There are some great NHL players that have gone out. They haven't committed anything close to this. Most of them haven't done any wrong in their careers, but they have gone out and been amazing supportive voices and inclusive voices in the NHL. Players like Braden Holtby with his support of the LGBT community, Tyler Seguin with his support of Black Lives Matter. The Hockey Diversity Alliance that was started, the amount of people that have gone out, the players that have gone out and done amazing things. You know, we talk about how hockey players are great leaders all the time and how they're great people. Show us. Be a great person. Because right now, Logan Mailloux has given a couple lackluster apologies and has shown no way where he is trying to do anything better. This is part of a statement the Canadiens issued following the pick, along with Marc Bergevin coming out and speaking to the media. Canadiens said the club was aware of the situation and by no means minimized the severity of Logan's actions. Logan understands the impact of his actions. His recent public statement is a genuine acknowledgement of his poor behavior and the first step of his personal journey. We are making a commitment to accompany Logan on his journey and providing him with the tools to mature and the necessary support to guide him in his development. We're also committing to raising awareness among our players about the repercussions of their actions on the lives of others. The Montreal Canadiens are all men, okay? They shouldn't be an example of a 17-year-old as to what their proper actions, the impact of their actions should be. His apology wasn't enough, and Montreal, it is not your job to offer him this chance. He gave you an out. He could have gone off, taken his lumps, gone off, and done better. Could have gone back to the London Knights, taken part in some, sexual assault awareness or sexual harassment awareness campaigns, done some stuff on social media, helped out at some shelters and some nonprofits, and shown that he is learning. Apologized to the victim and actually given her some restitution. Because it's not up to us as the general public, it's not even up to Logan to have that apology acknowledged as good enough. It is up to the victim. She is the one. She is ultimately the one that holds the key. She is the one that determines if Logan has apologized well enough, that he is genuine in his apology to her. It's not up to us. And the Montreal Canadiens couldn't even rationalize their own pick. I'm going to play another clip for you. This is not doctored. This is not edited. I didn't take it and stretch it out over any time. No, this is the actual footage from the Zoom call.
Regarding Logan, in his statement, he says that he thought that he did not earn the right to be drafted. Based on that, if the player thinks that, why do you think the opposite?
What do I think the opposite? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, it's just that if he, he thought that because of his actions, because of where he was at, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think I just touched on that, Marc-Antoine, that I thought he was emotional when that came out. Maybe today he would think a little differently, but we felt comfortable, with what the information that we have and, with his interview that, we truly believe that he was remorseful, mm-hmm. and we're going to help him, through this difficult time.
They thought he was emotional when he made his statement. Just think about that for a second. They thought he was emotional when he made that statement, and he probably wouldn't make it now. And then they go on to talk about how he was remorseful in that statement. Do you hear the cognitive dissonance there? To minimize his attempt at acknowledgement, his attempt to apologize and take responsibility for his actions, and say that he's not emotionally mature enough to make that decision, but he is emotionally mature enough to be remorseful and to move forward with his career. I know the question kind of caught him off guard, but to say that he was emotional and would have taken back the statement where he acknowledged the harm, but was still able to be remorseful and us to trust that remorse, is a level of cognitive dissonance that is just astronomical. And I am not surprised by in an NHL front office. With everything going on with the Chicago Blackhawks and the defensiveness and a minimalization that has come out by the Blackhawks, current Blackhawks players, and current and former Blackhawks executives, a.k.a. Marc Bergevin, GM of the Montreal Canadiens, and Kevin Cheveldayoff, current GM of the Winnipeg Jets, it does not surprise me that they will throw out any statements they can to shield themselves from this criticism. They're trying to make themselves look like the heroes here when they are taking away Logan's agency to try and be better. They are taking away his opportunity to actually take steps, take concrete steps towards repairing the harm that he caused. To minimize his statement to say that he was emotional and he was reacting emotionally in making that statement is a complete erosion of Logan's autonomy. To say that he was not mentally mature enough or emotionally mature enough to make a statement like that in that time, to take concrete steps, to very publicly acknowledge that he doesn't deserve to be drafted. That's an insult to Logan Mailloux. And it's an insult to the victim. You took away his chance to prove people wrong. To prove, and you took away the NHL's chance to prove people wrong by doing this. And then the flip-flop. One second, he's so emotionally immature that he's going to make a statement because he's afraid or he's emotional. And then the next to say, oh yeah, he's just, we believe that he's, you know, mature and emotionally ready and to be remorseful about what he's done. And he can acknowledge, he's mature enough to acknowledge the harms that he caused. It is extreme cognitive dissonance. And it's robbing him of his agency. So, in sum, I guess, it was another week of the NHL being the NHL. And it looks like we are going to continue on with this kind of extreme stuff. And people wonder why it's hard for me to be a hockey fan. And that'll just about do it. Thank you very, very much for listening. I've been Jason. You have been the audience. This has been Let's Talk About. If you're listening live on 101.5 UMFM, thank you very, very much for listening. You've got keep it tuned to 101.5. You've got some great songs and great shows coming up right after this one. And if you're listening on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. And as always, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy some well-earned time off. And stay safe, everybody. Oh, and before I go, I also want to announce that this season, Evan and I will be returning as the play-by-play and color commentary voices for your University of Manitoba Bison men's hockey team. So I've spoken to Evan about this, and we're both very excited to be coming back for another season. It's been a long time. I really miss being in the booth. Evan really misses being in the booth, so keep an eye out for that one. And we'll see you around Wayne Fleming Arena.